There's a better place to get your podcast. GCNlive.com. Hundreds of thousands of hours. Archive for your listening pleasure. All free at GCNlive.com.
From studios on the campus of the University of Common Sense in the Big Easy, the professor of thinkology and a man dedicated to truth and common sense. America, class is in session right here, right now, with your host, Jim Brown.
Welcome to the second hour of the Common Sense Show. Sure glad you're joining us. Hope you're having a pleasant weekend, as we are, always do, broadcasting with you each week. Hey, this is an interesting week or last 10 days. Daniel, we got our guest? Okay, fine. Okay. This is an interesting last 10 days because you have the beginning and the ending of the Civil War, the death of President Lincoln, all coming in April, and the focus on the Civil War. This is the 150th anniversary. It's not certainly not a celebration, but certainly the anniversary of the official end of the Civil War. And in that context, we want to talk a little bit about it. It's amazing the interest that stayed in this war over all these years. Mr. William C. Davis is a biographer, probably the most prolific writer of Civil War books and articles that you can name in this country today. He is certainly an expert at all phases of the Civil War. Got a fascinating new book out called Crucible of Command, Ulysses S. Grant and Robert E. Lee. Mr. Davis, glad you joined us today.
Glad to be with you.
Let me ask you right off the bat about the interest. I want to get into your book, but is it surprising to you as the preeminent Civil War historian that there's been this much continuing interest in the Civil War, that this war that was fought 150 years ago still has books galore come out written about it, so much written about Lincoln? It just seems like far from lessening in interest, there is a growing interest in the whole aspects of the Civil War. Is that surprising to you or not?
Not really. The interest really began during the war. You've already had people writing books about it before the war was over. Monuments were going up before the war was over. There were Civil War tourists before Appomattox. And between the veterans and then their descendants, that interest was just kept alive. It sort of waxes and wanes, but right now it's pretty much on an upswing again. But we've seen this before, and I suspect we'll see it again. I could give you 100 reasons why I think it continues to have such a hold on us. The main thing, I suppose, is that it's our war. It was us against them. It's us against us. And there's so much romance and tragedy and the brother against brother aspect of it. It's kind of part of the American psyche by now.
No doubt about it, which raises the question, I guess, when, you look at the whole issue of slavery and you see that in Britain, in France, in Latin America, in so many countries, that slavery is brought to an end without ripping apart the whole internal strife of the country, then you kind of ask the question, was the Civil War really necessary? I mean, Lincoln goes down as probably our most revered president, but I guess if I were being... if I were kind of second-guessing him and being a little sarcastic about it, I'd say, what would happen today if either under Barack Obama or George Bush we fought a war where the equivalent of about 10 million people today with the population would have killed each other over internal strife? Wouldn't that be a reflection on the leadership? So the question, what was the Civil War really necessary when it happened no place else in the world?
You're quite right. The reason secession came about was a breakdown in leadership pretty much north and south. We had a generation of very mediocre leaders really after Andrew Jackson, north and south alike. But there are also some issues that people just can't compromise. I mean, look at the strife we've gone through for the last 50 years on abortion or nuclear armament and that sort of thing. There are some things that become matters of values to people they just can't compromise on. And the issue of slavery, North and South, was certainly one of those. people in the North who were opposed to it simply could not give up a value that they thought was a matter of basic human rights. People in the South had a $4 billion capital investment in slavery. If slavery was eradicated, it would cripple the South economically, it's all socially, politically. There really wasn't a simple, easy answer. Ironically, the Southern states had not seceded. They just stayed in the Union. They had enough votes to stop any kind of constitutional legislation or amendment to act against slavery. We still have slavery today.
Interesting. Interesting in terms of what would happen if you say if they would have stayed in. Quite right. So, Dr. Davis, now your new book, and you've written so many, and I've read a number of your books. Your latest book, Crucible of Command, obviously the two most interesting characters in the whole Civil War front, Ulysses S. Grant and Robert E. Lee. Let me talk about Lee. Usually, when you lose the war, you almost become irrelevant. You got beat, you're a loser, you go off into a minor footnote in history. That has not been the case of Robert E. Lee. I can't think of anybody else in history who has been a general who has lost the war, who still maintains such interest, such allegiance, such reverence. Lee was quite a character, wasn't he, that rose above just the normal flow of the chain of command, military command.
Very much so. I guess you could compare him to Napoleon, who, of course, lost, but still fascinates people today. Lee was widely revered even in the North, even during the war. I guess out of respect for the startling nature of his brilliance in those campaigns of Virginia in 1862, 63, 64. After the war, he certainly presented a model, at least outwardly, of acquiescence in what happened and rebuilding. Unlike so many other Confederate generals, he didn't get lured into the political and public arena, engaging in feuds with each other over who was responsible for losing what battle. Lee stayed entirely clear of that, so he maintained a very dignified pose right up to his death. And then, as I mentioned earlier, Americans are fascinated by the idea of the romanticism of the lost cause, much of it myth, and a certain sympathy for the underdog. And certainly Lee represented a great deal of that. And it also helped that Lee was to some degree admired by Grant. It's Grant who made sure that Lee did not have to face any kind of prosecution for treason after the war, and that he get his rights back.
And comment on that, if you will. Is that a reflection of Grant being somewhat of a visionary, saying, "Look, we got to pull all this thing back together." And even though we have won, there is still such dissension in this country that showing some magnanimity or showing some sympathy and some understanding is going to go a long way in bringing the country. It went way beyond Robert E. Lee. Is that a fair statement or not?
Oh yes, indeed. Grant is a really surprising character. Anybody seeing him in 1860 would not have expected him to be capable of much of anything but running a leather goods store out in Illinois. But he shows a remarkable degree of sophistication, of political savvy and instinct, and social savvy and instinct. And it just sort of appears during the war. If it was all there beforehand, he just never had a chance to show it. But Grant is perfectly in tune with Lincoln on this, and takes his lead from Lincoln in that the peace should be made as easy as possible. Having defeated the Confederates, the last thing they wanted to do was to humiliate them or have war crimes, trials, abuses, and that sort of thing, because they want to get them assimilated back into the nation. And the more they humiliate them, the harder that is going to be.
Let me stop you right there if I can. Mr. Davis, let me stop you right there. We've got to take a little pause. I'm talking to Mr. William C. Davis, probably the most prolific writer on the Civil War in America's history. His new book, Crucible of Command, by a dual biography of Ulysses S. Grant and Robert E. Lee. You can find it on my website at www.jimbrownusa.com. What a fascinating subject, 150th anniversary of the ending of the Civil War. We'll come back and talk to Mr. William F. Davis, our historian, right after this message.
You're listening to Jim Brown's Common Sense, right here on the Genesis Communications Radio Network at GCNLive.com.
All of us want to stay healthy, particularly as we grow older. I work out and try to watch what I eat, but you need more. You need a vitamin supplement to give you that extra energy and to help keep your weight down. My solution? I use Youngevity vitamins and minerals to keep me in good health. They're easy to take, and the power drinks, for me, really taste good. Hey, give them a try. Go to my website at jimbrownhealth.com. That's jimbrownhealth.com. You'll be glad you did.
Avoid bankruptcy. Does credit card debt have you living paycheck to paycheck? Our attorneys at the Legal Center for Debt Resolution will find the absolute best debt reduction solution for you, or you pay nothing. It's called pay for performance, and you won't pay a dime until the job's done. That's right. No upfront fee, no monthly fees. Nada. You pay nothing until after your account is settled. If you owe $10,000, $30,000, or even $50,000 in credit card debt, call the Legal Center for Debt Resolution at 800-449-4269. 800-449-4269.
Have you ever felt like the United States government knows way too much about your financial affairs? I continue to hear stories about property seizures, frozen bank accounts, confiscation of stocks and bonds. It makes me wonder if the U.S. citizen will ever again have the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Unfortunately, with the Drug and Money Laundering Act, the IRS Revenue Ruling 6045 of 1984, and the Trading with the Enemy Act and Franklin D. Roosevelt's Executive Order of 1933, some precious metal holdings are subject to government intervention. For this reason, Midas Resources has prepared a report explaining the boundaries of trading precious metals privately. Whether if you have any intention of trading with Midas Resources or not, I have instructed my representatives to give this report out free. Call for your free copy at 1-800-686-2237. When investing, always proceed with caution. Again, call 1-800-686-2237. Exercise your legal right to trade metals privately. 1-800-686-2237.
By now, you may have heard a bit about bitcoins. But did you know bitcoins are now over an $8.5 billion market? And did you know that over 65,000 businesses now accept bitcoins? Listen, if you're already earning bitcoins or trying to make money in the bitcoin market, you've got to know BidBit.co. Why? Because BidBit.co is where you can easily receive bitcoin by selling and auctioning off your own personal items or promote business products and services for bitcoins. You heard right. Whether personal or business, you can now buy, sell, and auction your product and services quickly, easily, and securely for Bitcoin at BidBit.co, the first and only marketplace website to offer BidBit escrow, a proprietary technology which gives buyers and sellers security and peace of mind because all transactions are protected. Start today. It's free to join, free to post, free to auction, and free to bid at BidBit.co. Buy, sell, bid, or auction everything Bitcoin. That's www.bidbit.co. BidBit.co.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right. General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for $35,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet for $35,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call 866-91-STEEL. Lock in your price now. Call 866-91-STEEL. That's 866-917-8335.
A little right, a little left, but always independent-minded. The Genesis Communications Network, GCN.
Welcome back to Jim Brown's Common Sense. Now, here's your host and professor of thinkology, Jim Brown.
We're talking about the 150th anniversary of the official end of the Civil War. Lincoln's death played into this same time period as it did the start of the Civil War. My guest is Mr. William C. Davis, probably America's premier historian on Civil War activities, written so many books about the Civil War. His new book out, which is called A Biography of Ulysses S. Grant and Robert E. Lee, Crucible of Command. Mr. Davis, let me ask you this about Grant. Lee was respected at West Point and was a leading general in the Army before the Civil War, offered the Union command and turned it down to go back to head up the militia of his home state of Virginia. He was a pretty illustrious guy before the war started. As you pointed out, Ulysses S. Grant wasn't much of a leather maker back in 1860, and yet emerged as quite a significant figure, ascending himself to the presidency of the United States. What do you think was the growing period? What happened to Grant? What was the catalyst that let him rise to the occasion and end up being such a quite frankly, revered leader today?
Yeah. I think Grant was fortunate on two points, neither of which, or both of which are really just luck. I guess number one is that he didn't have high rank at the very beginning of the war. A lot of the Union generals who did weren't around by the end of the war. The war tends to grind these fellows up. Probably even more fortunate for Grant is that he emerged out of what was called the Western Theater, in his case, Illinois, where a lot of really good people were involved, but press attention wasn't focused out there the way it was on the Eastern Theater. And he was allowed to sort of rise from colonel to brigadier general to learn his job at a level of command he'd never experienced before. And he had good political support in the governor and a senator from Illinois, so that he had a chance to show what he could do on a small level with the little engagement of Belmont, Missouri in the fall of 1861, and then especially when he took Fort Henry and Fort Donelson in February of 1862 and really began cutting the Confederacy in half. From Fort Donelson on, the war in that Western theater is really on downhill for the Confederacy. And he'll stay out there until late 1863, so he has a chance to really grow and become a national hero with a great deal of experience before he has to face somebody like Lee.
And that's a good point. Grant also was very instrumental in terms of opening up the Mississippi River, the fall of Vicksburg. He was the general that led the charge. And interesting story to you, I for years had an old plantation home up across from Natchez, Mississippi. And in that home, that's where Grant bivouacked for a couple of days before he crossed the river south of Vicksburg, came up from the south and attacked Vicksburg from the river. And I've got some great stories. I'll tell you, sometime in the future I'll call you and share some great anecdotes and stories the locals have told me about Grant. And of course, many argue that was a definitive battle of the Civil War because it opened up the Mississippi River and to take New Orleans and to open up that whole flow, really killing any trade activities for the South from that point on.
Yeah, it really cut the Confederacy. It severed the western third of the Confederacy, Arkansas, West Louisiana, and Texas, from the rest of the Confederacy, and cut off any further supply of manpower, which was never great in any event, but also cut off any further supply of much-needed livestock and other grain and other kinds of supplies. Plus, the Confederates could no longer use the Mississippi to move their own troops up and down the river. And it opened the way then to start carving up the rest of the South using the rivers again, so that piece by piece, like eating a pie, while Lee was essentially holding on to the same ground in the East in 1864 that the Confederates had in 1861, out West, thanks to Grant, the Confederates had lost whole states, and the Western Theater was rapidly moving east.
Oh, I see what you're saying. So, well, it's a fascinating book about how Grant and Lee both emerged as huge figures in our American history and how their lives intertwined and how they apparently had an understanding and respect after the surrender that took place. Was there any correspondence or engagement or involvement of the two that you know in history later on? Did they correspond at all? They see each other again after the surrender, you think, or not?
There are only two instances. The first is on April 10, 1865, the day after the surrender, when Grant asked Lee for a meeting, and they rode out into the ground between the lines, sat on horseback, and talked for about half an hour or so. And Grant was trying to persuade Lee, who was general-in-chief of all Confederate armies, trying to persuade Lee to order all of the remaining armies to lay down their arms, take their paroles, and go home so that the war could be ended then rather than remaining armies have to be tracked down and defeated one by one at a much greater cost of blood and treasure. But Lee didn't feel that he could go along with that. And then the only other instance we know of is the month after Grant became president. He had issued an invitation to Lee to be one of the first callers at the White House. And Lee, in fact, did visit him in April 1869, and they had about a half hour to an hour's interview where Grant, again, was trying to persuade Lee to speak out publicly in favor of very moderate constitutional reform and a moderate candidate for governor in Virginia so that Virginia would not have to undergo the kind of military reconstruction that the other southern states did. And again, Lee politely declined. He just did not wish to appear in the public arena. But that's it. There were four times.
Interesting in terms of how they looked towards their future and then went their separate ways. Well, it's a fascinating book called Crucible of Command, available at all bookstores. You can order it off my website at www.jimbrownusa.com. Certainly, in my opinion, the two most interesting players in the whole Civil War flow with Ulysses S. Grant and Robert E. Lee. What's next? You are the most prolific writer by far of Civil War activities. What's next on your agenda?
Well, I'm about done with it's really strange. I'm about done with a book about a woman whose name I don't know. she's known to history as Loretta Velasquez. She wrote an autobiography called The Woman in Battle, in which she maintained that she posed as a man and served as an officer in the Confederate Army for the first 2 years of the war and then went north as a Confederate Secret Service agent. And the book's about 90% fiction, but it's still subject to a great deal of debate. And so I pretty much pinned down what is and what isn't reliable in it, but then discovered the process that for 50 years after the war, she continued to have a fascinating career as a businesswoman, a sort of social reformer, and at the same time a large-scale con artist. But I have no idea what her name was when she was born. She used so many aliases that we're never going to be sure of who she was.
We'll look forward to talking about that book when you get it done.
Okay.
Again, Mr. Davis, thanks so much for spending some time with us today. We enjoyed talking to you. Hope to look forward to seeing you again. Have a nice weekend.
Thank you.
Well, Crucible of Command, Ulysses S. Grant and Robert E. Lee. What fascinating characters. You can find that book on my website at jimbrownusa.com. I still raise the question, was that war ever necessary? Should brother against brother? It's just something that will puzzle us for years to come. Hey, still got time to go on the Common Sense Show. Freshen up your coffee, and I'll be right back.
You're listening to Jim Brown's Common Sense, right here on the Genesis Communications Radio Network at GCNLive.com.
Working on a home or residential painting project? There's only one name you need to know, PPG. PPG has earned the respect of professionals and homeowners alike because we combine the latest paint technology with expertise and knowledgeable service. PPG offers a broad range of primers, paints, stains, and specialty products to meet all your needs. Available at either our PPG Pittsburgh Paints or PPG Porter Paints Company-owned store or independent dealer locations throughout the U.S. Each PPG product comes with the customized service you deserve to make sure you get the right fit for the job. And choosing colors has never been easier thanks to the PPG Voice of Color system that helps users discover colors that match their personality. So for the best quality products, excellent service, easy-to-use color tools, and great results,
Visit your local PPG Pittsburgh Paints or PPG Porter Paints location today.
For over 5 years, you've been hearing about the Berkey guy, so you may know a few things about him. For example, you are well aware of the superior quality and effectiveness of Berkey water filters and accessories. But did you know the Berkeys have had independent lab tests done to prove just how effective they are? It's true, and he can email you the test results. Just visit GoBerkey.com. You may also know that the Berkey guy has helped tens of thousands of people get better prepared. Now here's something you may not know. GoBerkey.com has amazing specials and deals all the time on a wide variety of survival and preparedness products. Most ready to ship same day. Visit the Berkey guy at GoBerkey.com and be sure to click the red Products on Sale Now button. You can always call toll-free 877-886-3653. Again, that's 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com, home of the Berkey guy.
I have bought a few bottles of Heart and Body Extract and have to say that it certainly does work.
That's what Jack from Michigan had to say after his experience with heart pain and what he did to treat it with Heart and Body Extract.
I actually had a huge heart flutter. I was also having some edema around my ankles and very worrisome clot in my right leg that would happen from time to time while I was trying to sleep.
Heart and Body Extract is all natural with no negative side effects. It will help repair or correct past problems associated with the heart and body circulation.
After my second bottle of Heart and Body Extract, all problems are now gone.
Order at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305.
I ordered a third bottle of Heart and Body Extract for maintenance, as I want to keep everything working.
Order Heart and Body Extract at 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract for a long and healthy life.
Hi, this is Steve Sanchez, and based on a recent study, it was found that 57 million Americans had legal issues over the last 12 months, but only 60% of those studied sought out the services of a lawyer. Why? In a nutshell, affordability. Well, my friends at Legal Shield have created a solution that can help you not if, but when you need an attorney. For as little as $17 per month, Legal Shield will provide you unlimited access to qualified attorneys at an accomplished law firm for advice and counsel on legal issues, no matter how serious or trivial. For over 40 years and with 1.4 million families across North America, Legal Shield can help you, the loyal GCN listener. Representatives are standing by now to answer your questions, so call them now at 1-855-340-SAVE. That's 1-855-340-7283 or visit them at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com.
Results will vary from case to case.
Independently leading the way for the nation. Compelling talk for every political persuasion. We are GCN.
Welcome back to Jim Brown's Common Sense. Now, here's your host and professor of thinkology, Jim Brown.
Well, you remember Ferguson, Missouri. We talked a lot about Ferguson. I've written a lot about what happened up there. I'm originally from St. Louis, Missouri, and lived in a subdivision right next to Ferguson. I lived in Ladue, Missouri. It was a small municipality and right next to Ferguson with high school up there. And so a lot of people were trying to make sense out of the whole Ferguson fiasco. It's kind of been pushed aside. It shows you the news cycles that change so much, just not monthly or weekly, but in the 24-hour cycle where we go a whole different direction. But one of the questions asked up in Ferguson was that how come there's a city that is almost 70% black, has a police department that is 94% white, of the six city council members, five are white, the mayor is a white Republican, the school board has seven members with one black in the school district that is 75% black. So how can a city with an overwhelming majority of African-American citizens allow themselves to be governed by an overwhelming number of white officials? And the answer was, well, that they just didn't take elections, that African-Americans did not take elections seriously. Lots of people, black and white, did not take elections seriously. And they had forgotten the old adage that elections have consequences. And that's exactly what happened in the past in Ferguson. African American turnout was some three times lower than that of white voters. in the last municipal election that took place 4 years ago, just 6% of African-American voters showed up to the polls. 6%. That means that 94% of local blacks opted not to participate and elect those who make the laws that govern Ferguson, 94%. Now, you got to remember that only half the voters are actually registered, who could register. Those over 21 or over 18 who could register are actually registered. So if the figures were 6%, that means that only 3% of citizens who could vote in Ferguson 4 years ago turned out to vote. And look what they got. They got what they consider a strong, unrepresentative government. Again, elections have consequences. Well, we had an election, new election last week. And the turnout was still a dismal 29%. And most of the white officials were reelected. There were several blacks now elected to the council. There was more black representation, a little bit more reflective, not close to the numbers, but a little bit more reflective. The mayor is still white. Majority of the council is still African-American, rather white up there. There were several more African-Americans who were actually elected to the council. So 29%, remember the figure I told you, that only half of those who could vote have even voted, which means that about 14% of the people of Ferguson who could register and vote participated in the election, 14%. So we had the city that was on fire. Police officers have been shot. Riots in the streets. Massive confrontations that took place in Ferguson, where the I think either the father or the maybe it wasn't the father, but the stepfather of Michael Brown, who was shot, said, "Burn the place down. Let's burn it to the ground." We're going, and I don't know why that guy wasn't prosecuted for trying to incite a riot, but in any event, we had all this confrontation, and yet when you could do something about it, when you could bring about a change, when you could register and go vote, nobody did. No participation. 14% of those who were eligible to register and vote even turned out, and a large number of that 14% has to be white, not a majority. So you're talking about less than 10% of the African-American community who were demanding all these massive changes, who had a chance to bring about change, thought it just was not that important. And I'm not saying this is a black-white issue. I'm saying we find this true in so many instances. I get a lot of emails after the show of people complaining about issues I've raised, maybe things I've said, or they don't like the focus of the federal government. And we only do a two-hour show here on Sunday. It's hard to do. When I do my day show, when I do a day during the day and we have 3 hours, I'll open it up, the phone lines, to questions and comments. And I'll get someone that is just ranting and raving and so mad at the president or the mayor or the governor, whoever. And I'll say, "By the way, are you registered to vote?" "I've just been kind of busy, haven't got a chance." I'll say, "Hey, who's your legislator? Legislators write the laws that affect about everything you do. From the time you're born, when you've got to have a birth certificate, the laws that say your child has to go to school, they have to have a driver's license only at a certain age, they have to have automobile insurance, they have to perform a variety of duties. If they're going to get any kind of a license whatsoever, that's granted by laws that are created by the legislature. If you're going to be a doctor, lawyer, an Indian chief, whatever, you need a permit, you got to go to a government agency that's set up by laws of the legislature, right up until the time you die, when you have to have a death certificate. Government is involved in your life, whether you like it, and I don't like it, either of us like it or not." And so when I ask the question, "Well, those laws are made that you're mad about, you are sitting here bitterly complaining to me about on the radio, by legislators. Who's your senator? Who's your representative?" "Just not too sure." "Are you registered to vote?" I don't know if I ever got around to registering to vote or not. And you see the bottom line, from Ferguson, Missouri, to Banning, California, to Atlantic City, New Jersey, to Fairbanks, Alaska, right down to where I live in New Orleans and Baton Rouge, Louisiana. If you don't like what's going on, look in the mirror if you haven't registered to vote. Look in the mirror if you can't name your senator and representative that makes the laws that govern your lives. Just look in that mirror. Wasn't it Pogo that said, "We've seen the enemy, and the enemy is us." We've seen the enemy, and the enemy is us, because we don't participate. It's not a big deal to go down and register and vote. It's just not that big of a deal. And yet so many people who bitterly complain, and in some instances, as we saw in Ferguson and other cities, rioted in the city, firebombs, shootings, haven't registered to vote. They take their protests out in violence. They don't take it out under the system of democracy that our founding fathers put together for us to go. If we don't like what's happening, we have a chance in the ballot box to make that change. And yet in Ferguson, Missouri, this past week, 14% of the entire black and white population even cared enough to go out and pull a lever and vote. Look in that mirror, folks. Look in that mirror. You've seen the enemy, and the enemy is us. It's just that simple. It's just that simple. Lead story in the New York Times on the editorial page. I take the New York Times. Some people say it's too liberal. By and large, I like the entertainment news. I like news about who passed away. I disagree a lot with some editorial comments. Comment about my I've got a son-in-law who's a foreign policy advisor up, and he was quoted in the New York Times today by one of the columnists up that way. I was proud to see you've got a family member quoted. In any event, the lead editorial says voting rights by the numbers and says that the recent decision by the United States Supreme Court to do away with the Voting Rights Act is lessening the ability of many minorities to vote. And they point out certain items. For instance, they particularly point out the photo ID, that you've got to show a photo ID to go register at the polls. Now, I was the chief elections officer in my home state of Louisiana for 8 years, and the Secretary of State carries that title. I carried that title, and I didn't see a big problem with the voter ID. I'll come back and tell you about it, because we've got to take a break right now before our final segment. But in any event, the Voting Rights Act used to encumber about 16 states that had to genuflect and do a variety of things to the Justice Department to get any change approved. I said repeatedly, let it apply to everybody. If there are approvals that need to be done, let's just don't pick on a few states. And that's the focus of what that editorial is all about. I'll come back and talk to you some more about it. Hey, Jim Brown, my Common Sense Show, my website's www.jimbrownusa.com. Still got a segment to go. Let me get me some coffee, and I'll be right back with you to make some more Common Sense.
You're listening to Jim Brown's Common Sense, right here on the Genesis Communications Radio Network at GCNLive.com.
All of us want to stay healthy, particularly as we grow older. I work out and try to watch what I eat, but you need more. You need a vitamin supplement to give you that extra energy and to help keep your weight down. My solution? I use Youngevity vitamins and minerals to keep me in good health. They're easy to take, and the power drinks, for me, really taste good. Hey, give them a try. Go to my website at jimbrownhealth.com. That's jimbrownhealth.com. You'll be glad you did.
Avoid bankruptcy. Does credit card debt have you living paycheck to paycheck? Our attorneys at the Legal Center for Debt Resolution will find the absolute best debt reduction solution for you, or you pay nothing. It's called pay for performance, and you won't pay a dime until the job's done. That's right. No upfront fee, no monthly fees, nada. You pay nothing until after your account is settled. If you owe $10,000, $30,000, or even $50,000 in credit card debt, call the Legal Center for Debt Resolution at 800-449-4269. 800-449-4269.
Now you may have heard a bit about Bitcoins, but did you know Bitcoins are now over an $8.5 billion market? And did you know that over 65,000 businesses now accept Bitcoins? Listen, if you're already earning Bitcoins or trying to make money in the Bitcoin market, you've got to know BidBit.co. Why? Because BidBit.co is where you can easily receive Bitcoin by selling and auctioning off your own personal items or promote business products and services for Bitcoin. You heard right. Whether personal or business, you can now buy, sell, and auction launching your product and services quickly, easily, and securely for Bitcoin at BidBit.co, the first and only marketplace website to offer BidBit Escrow, a proprietary technology which gives buyers and sellers security and peace of mind because all transactions are protected. Start today. It's free to join, free to post, free to auction, and free to bid at BidBit.co. Buy, sell, bid, or auction everything Bitcoin. That's www.bidbit.co. BidBit.co.
Attention taxpayers, if you've received a notice from the IRS or state, do not ignore it. It's also a big mistake to try and handle your tax problem on your own. If you owe back taxes, it's a fact that the government has the power to take everything you own, including your home, business, wages, savings, and your freedom. But here's the good news. There's a special toll-free tax hotline set up especially for you. This tax hotline will tell you about new programs that are geared to help you dramatically settle, reduce, or eliminate what you owe. But you have to call now. Take out this number or put it in your cell phone. But call 877-345-7645. That's 877-345-7645. When you call, you get free information on how you can reduce or eliminate back taxes, including penalties and interest. You can also be helped if you have unfiled returns, a tax lien, wage garnishment, bank levy, or if you have been entered into a payment plan but can't make the payments. Don't make the big mistake in thinking you can ignore or handle your tax problem on your own. You can stop the collection process immediately at 1-877-345-7645. That's 1-877-345-7645. 1-877-345-7645.
Have you noticed that in a disaster, the store shelves are emptied? Don't panic. You don't have to be part of the fear and chaos if you have a supply of GoFoods. GoFoods can help you rest easy knowing your greatest dependency of food is covered. Call now to take advantage of our Freedom Packs or set up your food savings account. Call us at 1-800-648-9753 or on the web at www.storefoodnow.com. That's 1-800-648-9753 or www.storefoodnow.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
The nation's largest independently owned and operated talk radio network, the Genesis Communications Network, GCN.
Welcome back to Jim Brown's Common Sense. Now, here's your host and professor of Thinkology, Jim Brown.
I was talking before that last break about the fact that the New York Times lead editorial today on this weekend is about the fact that the Voting Rights Act is not working primarily in the South. It used to be that a handful of southern states would have to go for approval on anything they did. And I mean anything. If you moved a voting machine 4 feet, you had to get Justice Department approval to do that. I went through all that when I was Secretary of State. We had no problems with the Voting Rights Act. That all was in the past. And in some states, maybe it's not. I can't speak for every state. I've heard some complaints about some things happening in a few states, both north and south. But one of the things the New York Times raised today was the necessity for a photo ID. Now, I don't think there's that much voter fraud out there. I've got to tell you, as 8 years as the chief elections officer of my home state, I didn't see any examples of people trying to go ahead and vote twice. It's just too big a deal to do for one vote. But there are those who say you should have a photo ID. I'm not hung up on it because a photo ID, quite frankly, is a pretty basic requirement of daily life today, isn't it? I mean, when you go to cash a check, what does the lady say? May I see your photo ID, please? Getting ready to board an airplane? Photo ID. You can say, well, someone who's not does not have that much money doesn't get on airplanes or even doesn't have a checking account. Well, let's talk about some more things. When I went to the video store recently to get a SpongeBob DVD for my grandkid, what did they ask for? A photo ID. To fill a prescription, my local pharmacist requires that I show an ID to get in certain types of pharmaceuticals. So I don't care how poor or wealthy you are, to get the medicine, you got to have the photo ID. An identification card with one's picture has become a regular necessity, so I don't see the big deal about showing proof of who you are to participate in electing those who control our lives in so many ways. And of course, that's Jim Crow, Bull Connor, and that's Germany forcing voters to the polls according to those who take the different tack. Again, I don't see that much voter fraud, but merely showing a picture ID seems like a small price to pay and a small effort to make in terms of how we look at things. So I just share that with you. I disagree with the editorial in today's New York Times. They got it wrong there. So, but everybody's entitled to their opinion, right? Hey, I love this out in Colorado. Boy, you got to tell, and we've got a lot of listeners throughout the state of Colorado. Those folks are really cracking down out there. That legislature has said enough is enough. You're no longer going to be able to use welfare benefits, your food stamps. You're not going to be able to use taxpayers' money. Here's what they're going to prohibit. There's a law out there being considered right now to prohibit the purchase at liquor stores. You can't use your money at casinos, and you can't use your money at strip bars. This is bipartisan legislation by a Democrat and Republican. They're requiring the Colorado Department of Human Services to regularly report illegal withdrawals. So you can go to Colorado and gamble with your welfare check. You can go to Colorado and buy liquor at the liquor stores. I can go to Colorado and go to a strip bar. Oh, my gosh, I'm moving to Colorado. What do you say? Why would the state even allow this? You would think that those built-in exceptions, a check is there, particularly if it's a food stamp, is there for food. F-O-O-D, the basics food, and not caviar, and not not steaks that cost $40. It's for basic food is what it's for, right? Not in Colorado. Liquor stores, bars, marijuana establishments. Oh, yeah, I forgot about that. Yeah, they want to include you can't go buy your dope on with your welfare check that you taxpayer and I taxpayer have given to Colorado. Not going to allow that anymore. What is this world coming from? You can't get dope, strip clubs, liquor stores, and casinos out in Colorado. So pass that by you. You want to be very, very leery of working out there. And some of these stories in the news, how about this one? The FBI, here's the lead story. This is in, it says the FBI is getting fat from sitting around all day on the Internet. That's the lead story. And that this has not been done for about 20 years, but all 13,508 FBI agents worldwide are going to have to complete a fitness test. I assume that the FBI agents were pretty fit guys and gals to begin with. They had to take a fitness test. Anybody in a high-profile job like that that comes in contact with career criminals, with people with weapons, would certainly have to be fit, right? Not in the last 16 years. There's been no requirement you take a physical fitness test to be an FBI agent. Dumbfounding. I think that all FBI, what was that Clint Eastwood movie where the guy's going to kill the president and he's out of breath, he's so hard. Clint's in like in his 70s when he made the movie, but he's working out all the time to stay fit so he can stay qualified to be, I guess, a Secret Service agent was in that particular case to protect the president. So what's the world coming to? The FBI is going to have to start taking the physical fitness test and not get fat and get off the Internet and show that they are in basic state of fitness to protect our country. Something you learn every day, isn't it? Apple and a number of companies are moving all their data centers out of the United States now. They're going to spend $2 billion, Apple alone, to build its first two data centers in Europe. And the reason is because of all the secrecy, all the the government data seizing activities that take place, where the government comes in and seizes the data to get all your telephone numbers. They want every telephone call, every email, every video that you make. They all want that in their database. Well, the problem is that a number of European businesses use the data centers for Apple and for other companies. And they're saying, look, we don't want to do business in the United States if they're going to take all that data and let the government seize all of our personal information. We don't want to do that. We're not going to do business with you. So to continue doing the business, Amazon and Salesforce.com and Apple are all moving all these data centers over to Denmark and Ireland, is where the first two are going to be built by Apple. They're going to go online 2017, which means jobs are going to go to Ireland and to Denmark, and all this infrastructure cost, the construction cost, all this money is going to be put in those states because we don't protect the data here in this country today. So we talked about that earlier on the show, freedom versus security. I want to be secure. I want to be safe. But I don't want to give up my freedom. I don't want overkill to take place. Where is that balance? And, of course, we're struggling with that balance. I talked about presidential candidates, Republican presidential candidates up in Nashua, New Hampshire, over the weekends, talking about the importance of security versus freedom. Rand Paul, the senator from Kentucky, you folks in Paducah, Kentucky, listen to us, know your senator up there. I think he's right on the money when it comes to protecting our freedoms. You don't have to give up security. If you give up too much security in the name of freedom, then you don't have either one. You don't have either one, you see. And so that's what's happening to us and losing a lot of jobs because we are demanding that every bit of information on you that you have on your electronic data all can be taken by the government. And as a consequence, the protections just are not given there. So something that I hope will be debated in this presidential election coming up in terms of that balance. There's a balance there. There's a balance there. We can protect freedoms and let you be a free citizen, not have government look at everything you do. There's also a way to identify the bad guys and to gather that data. There is a balance there. It's going to take some. It's not easy. It's going to take some give and take. It's going to take some time, but we can work that data out. We can find that balance, and that's hopefully going to be a major focus in this election. I mentioned before that right now, if you looked up at what happened in New Hampshire, about 19 candidates for president all showed up, and the whole focus was beating up on Hillary Clinton. Well, Hillary Clinton is not going to be the end or the where-all of what happens with the future of this country. She's going to be the Democratic nominee. That looks like it's a certainty. There will be lustful debates, vigorous debates, and we'll come out with all these issues later on about what she did or what she didn't do. Right now, let's get a visionary talking about the future of this country, economic development, what we do with the infrastructure, what we do with our personal safety. Those are the issues these candidates for president ought to be talking about. Hey, I'm out of time. I'm just getting warmed up. Wish I had a couple more hours to visit with you, but I will next week. Hope you'll tune in same time, same station for our Common Sense Show. Go to my website, too. You'll have some fun. See who our guests were today. Order the books. My website's www.jimbrownusa.com. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. Take care. We'll see you next week.
You're listening to Jim Brown's Common Sense, right here on the Genesis Communications Radio Network at GCNLive.com.
How many good people procrastinate? When was the last time you updated your last will and testament, your living will, and your health care power of attorney? If you could get these documents included with your Legal Shield membership for no additional charge, wouldn't it just make sense to have the peace of mind of owning a Legal Shield membership? Worry less and live more with LSProtection.com. That's LSProtection.com or call 855-340-SAVE. That's 855-340-7283.
Results will vary from case to case.
We the People grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Ted Anderson, I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
By now, you may have heard a bit about Bitcoins. But did you know Bitcoins are now over an $8.5 billion market? And did you know that over 65,000 businesses now accept Bitcoins? Listen, if you're already earning Bitcoins or trying to make money in the Bitcoin market, you've got to know BidBit.co. Why? Because BidBit.co is where you can easily receive Bitcoin by selling and auctioning off your own personal items or promote business products and services for Bitcoin. You heard right. Whether personal or business, you can now buy, sell, and auction your product and services quickly, easily, and securely for Bitcoin at BidBit.co, the first and only marketplace website to offer BidBit Escrow, a proprietary technology which gives buyers and sellers security and peace of mind because all transactions are protected. Start today. It's free to join, free to post, free to auction, and free to bid at BidBit.co. Buy, sell, bid, or auction everything Bitcoin. That's www.bidbit.co. BidBit.co.